Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a ton of really good quarterbacks in the AFC, but I gotta go with Josh Allen, in part because he's an excellent quarterback, but he also big enough to rush the pass if you have to, because we always match these guys up as if they're going head to head. Nobody out there playing quarterback could be a more effective defensive player than Josh Allen, but we've seen Josh Allen go toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes and come up short a number of times. We've also seen Lamar Jackson beat him in the regular season, but not able to do it in the postseason. We've seen Joe Burrow do it in the postseason, but Joe Burrow is still coming back off of a kind of questionable injury, a rare injury that we're not so sure how it's going to impact.
Dominique Foxworth on the top quarterback landscape in the NFL. I just saw this from Cody Alexander, who runs Field Vision Sports, which is more of like a, it's kind of like an AI evaluation sports company that he started recently. And he just tweeted out, there's really only two elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, if you look at it, what they do for their teams, the throws they can make, there's two elite quarterbacks in the league. It's Mahomes and it's Allen. And that's it. This will be, like, this, you can get, this could develop into an MVP conversation. This could develop into a roster management conversation. But really, I think, like, my expectations for the Bills are still there. I still would predict right now they're going to win the division. With all that's happened, with all that's happened to them, all the losses, all the drama, all the injuries. And isn't this going to be the ultimate test of how much of a quarterback-driven league it is?
Yeah.
Like, the Bills roster is not built to win a Super Bowl right now.
Not at this stage, no.
But it's still possible.
Was it last year?
That's a good question. I heard, actually, Chopin Bulldog got into this a little bit. 1 year ago, how did you feel versus right now? And how did that develop over the year? Do you remember how you felt 1 year ago today? How'd you feel about the team?
That they were old.
Okay.
And
they were coming off a Cincinnati playoff loss that everybody kind of wrote off as they were just
tired,
emotionally fried.
Yeah.
Right? Because of Hamlin.
Yep.
So weren't we kind of giving them a pass a year ago?
The vibes were not good.
1 year. Well, why? Because of dig stuff?
The vibes
because by
good.
This point last year, the dig stuff had been buried, right?
Kind of.
They moved past the mini camp day one. They were into training camp. He was dancing again. He was doing his handshake with Josh.
Then they went into that first game and lost to Zach Wilson. The vibes weren't good going into the season, and they weren't good after week one. They really weren't good until...
Yeah, when did the vibes get good?
Kansas City?
Did they ever get good?
Kansas City.
What was their record after Kansas City, though? Weren't they like 7-6?
But yeah, but that was...
They still had a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah, but the vibes flipped in Kansas City.
Okay. They were 7-6, by the way, after they won that game. I might go one... There were 2 points in the season where I felt like the vibes were actually really good. The week after Kansas City. Dallas.
Yeah.
It was, okay, this coordinator's got it figured out because they had beaten the Jets badly, right? And that's it. Remember, that's a. It was still Zach Wilson. Actually, it might have been, was it Tim Boyle in the second Jet game? But the Jet defense always had the Bills' number.
They did.
And Joe Brady comes in his first game and puts up 32 points on him.
Yep.
And then the next week was Philadelphia, which everybody felt like they should have won the game. And they should have. They should have won that football game. Then they beat Kansas City, and then they smoked Dallas. It was, all right, 4 games in a row, I feel pretty good. They should have won all 4. So after Dallas, I felt like the vibes were good. The other obvious example, vibes were great after they beat Miami 48-20 in week 4, right?
Yeah.
The Dolphins put up 70 points and then came in with their chest puffed out like, all right, here we are. We're the Dolphins. It's our time. And then the Bills just romped them. It was slugfest early, like touchdown, 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 and then the Bills just had their number the rest of the day. That's when vibes were good. Otherwise, yeah, vibes weren't great really most
vibes
of the year.
Vibes were not great.
And then, expectation, but that's the point about where were we 1 year ago today. Isn't built into that a year ago today we still had really high, crazy high expectations. It was still, this is Super Bowl or bust. You got to at least get there. You got to topple the Chiefs. You got to topple the Bengals. You got to get to a Super Bowl. And that was the expectation of last year. So when they fell short of that, that's why vibes were bad. This year expectation is lower. So if they do the same thing in the regular season they did last year, aren't we going to feel better about it? Because we're not set up as much to be Super Bowl or bust, where AFC Championship appearance last year would have felt like, at the beginning of the year, if I told you that before the season, hey, would you take losing in the AFC Championship game? Wouldn't almost everybody have said no? Versus right now, what if I told you that? You might still say no, but I bet there are more people today that would say, yeah, I'd take that. Right now, yeah. You tell me I'm going to lose in the AFC Championship game, I might sign up for that.
I don't know. It's tough.
Expectations are lower. I think the expectations are lower. The team might not be worse, though.
Okay, that might be right.
Can those two things be true? I don't think the team has to be worse. I've pointed this out a lot. Who are they missing from the Chief playoff game? Who are they truly going to miss from the Chief playoff game? Because Gabe Davis didn't play.
Yep.
Diggs had a bad game.
Yep.
Straight up. Fumbled the first play, and he dropped the last one.
Yep.
They didn't have... Poyer and Hyde were not the same.
Nope.
Trey White didn't play.
Mitch Morse. I mean, maybe
Morse is the guy you'd miss. My center.
Yeah.
An offensive lineman. Like, I know. All those guys meant a lot. The game they lost the Chiefs by 3, I feel like the Bills aren't really missing anybody.
Where
they're actually going to get, I mean, Bernard's back, and that's huge.
So the expectations last year, I think were very, I would still say very high, but they definitely were not as high as they were the year prior.
No, the year prior, everyone picked them to win the Super Bowl.
It's been on a pretty steady decline. Expectations. And wouldn't you say it reached maybe an all-time low from 2020 on after the London game?
One more time?
Like, in the window from 2020 until last year.
Yeah.
Would you say that the expectations and the vibes were at an all-time low after that Jacksonville game? They lose in London to Jacksonville. They lose Daquan Jones, and they lose Matt Milano for the season.
I think... You know, as we kind of dive into last year.
And the week after they lose Tre'Davious White in the fourth quarter against Miami.
I think there were 3 moments like that, though. Like, Jacksonville might be one of them.
I think that was the start of the real, like, I don't know, this just doesn't feel like the year.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to say that I don't know that I felt the expectations were overly high last year.
I think they were pretty high,
but I don't think that they are.
Jacksonville, remember, people were still trying to, we were fighting about whether the day they left was why they lost, right? I never believed that for a second that mattered at all, but it was out there. They're like, hey, and it was talked about. The way they traveled affected their game.
That was a talking point for like 2 weeks.
It really, like, New England is when there was no excuse.
Yeah.
They lost in New England on the last play, and it was, what is happening?
Yep.
What is going on? What game? Mac Jones beat us? The Denver game was definitely that also.
The Denver game felt like the stake in the heart. It felt like that was it.
Yeah, it felt like, yes.
Like they were done.
It felt like you've used up all, you already used up your margin for error. And now you went over top of it. And luckily the Dolphins allowed you to kind of get back into it because they had a stupid loss to the Titans later on in the year. This year, we'll get to some calls in a moment here. Start running through them. So expectations are lower right now. If they start, what do they have to start to get it right back to where they were? I asked Jeremy this the other day. If they start the season 4-0, are we right back to Super Bowl or bust? That would be Arizona, Miami, Jacksonville, Baltimore. If they have a start like that, they start 4-0. Are we right back to this is a Super Bowl team? I think we have to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So I almost feel like they can earn their way back to the super high expectations. But it's probably going to require a hot start.
A very hot start.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. And, yeah.
That would be, by the way, 4-0 would mean the fourth of which is at Baltimore. They win at Baltimore on Sunday night. I mean.
Yeah. That'll be.
They're right back to where they've been. But 3-1, 2-2, probably a little more likely. Let's go to Zach in West Seneca. What's up, Zach?
Hey, two things. Vibe check and Keon Coleman. I like Coleman. I just would have preferred a guy with a little more upside. I think best case is you're still looking for a number one. Like, his skill set doesn't look to me like a guy that's a number one. I think his ceiling is like Zay Jones, in his best years in Vegas or with the Jaguars, or like kind of like Rob, maybe not quite Robert Woods, but like number two. Like, I think his ceiling's a number two. I just think that that's best case. I would have preferred them trade up a little bit for the guy that went to the Jaguars, who had the speed and could go a little more downfield. I don't love their receivers. I've called in a couple times and mentioned that. I'd take some of the drought year receivers over this year's group. But as far as vibes go, I just felt like they were limping into last year with the old cast. You know, I just felt like these guys were. A couple injuries away, and it all fell apart. I mean, all the older guys got hurt. Diggs fell off, whether that was him falling off or who knows what was going on. But, like, the whole 2020, like, Bills, whatever was left, just kind of fell apart last year, and they were left with, I mean, that playoff game is amazing. Look at the starting cast. I mean, it was just crazy. I don't think Gabe Davis played. I think you guys just reminded us that Benford didn't play. The linebackers were a joke. Who knows how healthy any of the safeties who played actually were. So, they got through. I think quietly, this is where I think the Bills are. I actually think they're going to have probably a top three defense, and it's from a standpoint of I think they're going to rush the passer well. I think they're better at linebacker than we think. I think they're smart at defensive back. I think both I think all the corners are going to be good, and I just think safety, McDermott's just going to make do with what he's got. And those guys are all getting healthy. I honestly think they're going to be pretty good there, and the pass rush is going to be why. And it's not because of a return of Von Miller. I just think, maybe I'm just high on Rousseau after the other day and some of the metrics I've seen on Epinesa. But I think they're going to go full-on, like, run game. I think by week four, the Bills are going to have a really strong run game. They're going to be hitting up Dalton Kincaid. I don't think the receivers are going to matter until they play a team where they got to throw the ball, and then that's when we'll see. But I think that's what they want to do. This team reminds me of the 15 Panthers, where, like, Cam Newton, I think, won MVP that year. They went to the Super Bowl. Panthers defense was good. But look at the receivers on that team, a complete joke. And I don't love our receivers, but I can't remember the tight end for the – was it still Greg Olsen?
Greg Olsen, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you got characters like Philly Brown, and I think Kelvin Benjamin was even out that year. You know, his only good couple of years were before and after that.
Yeah.
I think best case, that's what you're looking at. And Allen is so good that – the rest of the division doesn't scare me. I could see a scenario where they're fighting towards the end of the year if Aaron Rodgers is healthy. But I just, Tua, you know, great passer and all, but I just, it's just when it comes down to it, I don't think, it's not all of a sudden, they're not going to, what's Allen's record again? They're not going to all of a sudden start tipping the scale the other way. It just doesn't happen. Even Allen's rookie year, he owns them. So I just think what matters to me is who they are. Are they rolling by December, and can they keep this ship afloat in the meanwhile? And then last thing is, it's amazing, you know, what they went into the season as and what they finished the season as were two different things last year, and that's with all the injuries, and it's a testament to McDermott. I am a McDermott truther, but I want to thank Tyler Dunn for the article, because when he dropped it, that's when things turned around. So, all right, guys, thanks.
Thanks, Zach. A lot in there, and some things that I don't know about top three defense, right? Like, that's a very hopeful outlook. It's not impossible. Like, I think they're going to have to turn the ball over a lot to get top three results, because by, like, DVOA or total defense, them being top three, like, that might be tough, especially with Milano out.
I think it'll be...
I kind of like the 2015 Panthers comparison. I've not thought of it all offseason. Allen, to me, is a much better passer than Newton, even in his MVP year. But look at the – we earlier tried to figure out, like, hey, how many targets is everybody going to get? How many receptions is everybody going to get? How many yards? What's the tight end going to have? What's the top receiver going to have? 2015 Panthers, he's right, by the way. No Kelvin Benjamin that year. I think maybe he got hurt in, like, training camp. Whatever. He wasn't on the field all year. Who led them in targets? The tight end. Greg Olsen, 124 targets. How many did you put Kincaid on for earlier? Like
115. 120, maybe, yeah.
Not far off. Olsen had 124 targets, 77 receptions, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns. Okay? Who was their number one receiver that year? Ted Ginn. He had 97 targets. He had 44 catches, 739 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
Ted Ginn, gosh.
And then who was after that? Devin Funchess. 63 targets. Corey Brown, 54 targets. How about Jericho Cotchery?
Yes.
Making an appearance here on today's show. 54 targets.
How many yards?
That could be how the breakdown of the Bills looks. Newton threw for 3,800 yards, 35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. 3,837 yards. You know what's interesting? Do you know what Josh Allen's over-under is for passing yards? It's 3,800 yards.
That's how much Cam Newton had?
He had 3,837. Interesting. Could the Bills be a spinning image of the 2015 Panthers that Sean McDermott was a part of? Allen will have a higher completion percentage than Newton.
Yep.
59%. I mean, there's just no way Allen's that low. But otherwise, Newton had 3,800 passing yards, 35 passing touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. Does that sound like an Allen stat line? For this year, it might not be that far off. Again, that's peak Newton. This would be almost a down year for Allen. So that's why I'm okay like saying it. All those receiving numbers, I could see that being the case. And then what did Newton have rushing that year? 636 yards and 10 rushing touchdowns.
I don't think he'll have 600 yards rushing, but...
Allen?
Yeah.
Okay. He's usually not that far off that, though. Maybe he's in the 500s. I kind of like this as a comparison. I don't want to go too far with it, but I kind of like it. I think I would take it. All of these stats being the same, I think I would take it. I mean, it's kind of easy to say I would take it, right? That Panthers team went 15-1. Clearly, that was the formula. How do you make it work when you don't have any good wide receivers? That Panther team. And how'd they do it? They had a star tight end. They had other receivers that stepped up just enough, and their quarterback was able to run and was putting up big yardage. And they had a top defense. That's how you do it.
It's definitely how you do it.
But that's like that's the only good comparison I'm going to find, I think, with like no receiver talent. I mean, Ted Ginn, being the number one wide receiver.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's wild.
That season doesn't get talked enough about, but yeah, I mean, MVP went to the best player on the best team.
Yeah.
Even if the numbers weren't insane, he was the best player on the best team. And on top of that,
I mean, the numbers were pretty. He had 45 total touchdowns.
So another Josh Allen season?
He had 4,400 total yards if you include
the rushing.
If they
don't go 15-1, is he MVP that season? I don't know. I don't know who else had seasons.
That's the thing about MVP. MVP very often just goes to the quarterback on the top team.
Yeah.
With the best record. Let's go next to Denny in Middlebury. What's up, Denny?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I just want to talk a little bit about last year and expectations for this year. I think we're being a little too tough on the Bills last year. A number two seed is something that we would have begged for 17 straight years. And if it wasn't for 2020, that would have been a bye. So we wouldn't have even been playing week one of the playoffs. We did that at the end of the season with a run when we went from 5% or under 10% to make the playoffs to the number two seed. And we did that with Milano down, Trey White down, Diggs down, solid, everybody knows, you know, not productive, with a ton of injuries. So, and a lot of those players aren't on the team anymore anyway. So I don't see that big of a downside. Like the glass guy mentioned, I think the defense is going to pick up. Bond will be back off of one way. Roosevelt and everything along those lines. Going into this year, I think the biggest issue that we obviously have is on the offensive side of things. It looks like a year that would be given to Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, with no superstar wide receivers. But my hope for this team this year is really simple. Run it through Kincaid. Have him play the Travis Kelce route. Run a lot of two tight end sets, two running back sets. Get Cook the ball a ton. He was phenomenal last year, third in the league in rushing. And just play that Patriot ball that worked when they had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. And based upon what I've seen so far, even though Kincaid hasn't played much in the preseason, that could be the way that they're going. And if they do that with a good defense, they're going to crush it this year.
Thanks, Denny.
Isn't part of the conversation, though, how other teams have gotten better than the AFC? It's not just sure, that the Bills maybe have gone lateral. If you don't think they've gotten worse, then at best you think that they're as good as they were last year, right?
Who's that mostly true for? The Jets?
The Jets.
If Rodgers stays healthy, which I am not betting on, but could. The Texans?
The Texans. The Jets, the Texans, the Titans.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about the Titans.
The Jaguars?
It's true of some teams. It's not true of anybody. I think Baltimore got a lot worse this offseason.
I did too.
Baltimore, by Kevin Cole's numbers of expected points added or lost, the Ravens lost the most value in the league this offseason, and they lapped second worst.
Yeah.
The Dolphins also lost a lot of pieces.
I think no one talks enough about the pieces that the Dolphins lost. I'll do it. But.
Cincinnati's going to be better if Burrow's healthy.
Ja'Marr Chase,
he's gonna be back, right? He's gonna be back. Let's get stupid. Here, let's get stupid. The Bills trade for Ja'Marr Chase. we need to cover this though with let's get stupid because that is stupid. But we want to talk about receiver. Hey, it's easier to fit the cap in for Ja'Marr Chase than it is Brandon Ayuk. I think it's only like $4 million.
That's true.
All right, let's get stupid. Come on. The Bengals are the cheapest organization in the National Football League.
Yep.
They don't want to pay anybody. The owner said less than a month ago, we're not paying Ja'Marr Chase. Paraphrasing. He basically said that. Like, what do you mean pay Ja'Marr Chase?
We certainly are doing it this year.
He's got 2 years left in his contract. Yeah, we're not paying him this year. And what's Ja'Marr Chase say to that? Okay, right. Fine. You're not going to pay. I'm not coming. I'm not showing up to work.
Well, no, even better. He showed up to work and won't do anything at work.
Right.
I mean, that's like showing up to your desk. I'm going to show up to my desk and I'm not going to even sign into my computer.
Right. So who's going to blink? Probably the Bengals. But the Bengals are, they're not a normal franchise. I don't think you can treat it like a normal situation with, hey, guy wants to be paid. What usually happens? The guy usually gets paid. They'll have a staring contest back and forth. They'll have a negotiation and it'll happen. The Bengals are not a normal organization. The Bengals are cheap. All right. So there you go. The cheap team doesn't want to pay him, and you give him, what do you give him? 2 firsts?
That's probably what you'd have to give him.
Would you do it? 2 firsts, yeah. And Coleman.
I probably would, yeah.
You'd say yes to that? I think I'd say yes to that. I think I mean, I'm so receiver obsessed though this offseason, I might say yes to anything.
Yeah.
Short of Josh Allen, obviously.
If
you told me 5 first-round picks, fine, do it, whatever. I just want Ja'Marr Chase with Josh Allen. Come on, they're going to win Super Bowls together, right?
I know.
Is he the second best receiver in football? Is he the third best receiver?
I know this is the
five.
Let's get stupid, but doesn't it maybe feel like there's actually a real opportunity that T. Higgins could be in a Bills uniform next year? I would say it's definitely more likely.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. They'll have more money. And he's probably not getting tagged again. He's probably going to hit free agency.
He ain't getting tagged again.
All right, so.
I'm surprised they tagged him.
Sure, it's possible. It's definitely possible. But I want Chase now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I'm not a huge Higgins fan.
I would love CeeDee Lamb.
All right, what's more likely of those two? Who can you get your hands on easier?
I think you could probably get your hands easier on CeeDee Lamb.
The only thing about Lamb. I had a Cowboys, Marcus Mosher, I had on last week. And I was asking about Lamb. And he answered the question saying, I'm actually not really worried about the Cowboys signing Lamb. The Cowboys are worried about signing Dak. And they are...
Are they worried, though? Because it seems like they're worried. They don't seem very worried.
That's how Jerry Jones talks, though, isn't it? Marcus covers the team. Like, I don't know like how ingrained in the front office he is, but his words were basically that they are petrified that Dak is going to leave. And
he is.
That Dak would leave for the Giants. And if Dak leaves, is CeeDee Lamb signing an extension to play with Trey
Shadur Sanders.
Lance? Shadur Sanders. Look at this guy.
I mean.
Shadur Sanders. Because obviously Deion's going to be the coach.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
They're going to turn over the whole thing. Is Colorado even going to be good this year?
No.
No?
No.
Better than last year?
I mean, I hope. They had 2 wins last year. 3 wins last year.
No, that can't be right.
Yeah.
They were not good. They had three wins in the first three weeks.
Maybe they were 4-8. Did they finish the season 4-8 last year? Yes. Dude, they were not good last year.
I clearly lost track of it after the hype.
Win four games in college football history.
I watched a full Colorado State football game at 10:30 at night.
Because
celebrities were on the sideline.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they won that game in double overtime to go to 3-0. And then they went 1-8 the rest of the way.
Yep. In fairness, they lost, I'm pretty sure that's the game Travis Hunter went down in. I think Travis Hunter went down in that game.
It was like an illegal hit, yes, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was that game.
Interesting. All right. Time out here. When we come back, if you've got a thought on this comparison to the 2015 Panthers, I'm kind of infatuated by it. But just the vibe check on the expectations and how different they might be from last year. Heard Chopin Bulldog talking about it yesterday. If you got a thought on it, if Rob in Connecticut, if you stay on hold, we'll get to you first up when we come back. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. We also have to get to building the Bills. There's some business stuff in the league this week that's really interesting that the NFL is kind of last to the party on, but is going to really change, I think, how ownership ends up, you know, occurring in the National Football League. That when we come back here on WGR.
Time now for the Business of the Bills, brought to you by Haynes Supply. From our Buffalo roots to nationwide sales and service, we are your industrial contractor supplier.
Business of the Bills, brought to you by Haynes Supply. From our Buffalo roots to nationwide sales and service, we are your industrial contractor supplier. The league had a meeting earlier this week about allowing private equity to purchase stakes of teams in the NFL, and saw some rumors yesterday that is going to be passed. That is going to happen, which is the least surprising thing in the world.
They're like, money? Yeah, sure, let's do that, money.
They're going to get paychecks. Teams are going to be able to get paychecks without losing controlling interest of the team. And one reason that I saw, the NFL's last of this party. Like, the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, like, all these other leagues have already approved this. Part of the reason why? There's only so many billionaires that can afford to buy NFL football teams. Right? There's only so many. You're
And if they won't let Bezos in.
Yeah. There's actually news on him, I guess. A little bit. Not with the NFL. But also, remember, Tim Graham reported this a couple months ago, that the Bills hired a firm to seek selling a portion of the team. So, I mean, aren't we probably headed for that being a private equity firm?
Probably, yeah.
Hopefully not like a foreign, you know, we get into that, sports washing. But that's out there in the league this week. The Bezos thing, it's not NFL related, but I guess there are rumors that he could purchase the Celtics.
Yeah, I saw that's probably not.
It's not yeah. The case.
So, have you seen, so this was last calculated in August of 2023, so almost exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
The valuation of the Bills right now?
Okay.
$3.7 billion.
Yeah, it's more than that.
You think it's more than that?
I think they would sell for a lot more than that. Yep.
By the way, that ranks them 30th in the NFL.
Okay. I think getting in that club in general, no matter where the team is going to get you a giant, giant payday. Yeah, more than that. What did the Broncos sell for?
Oh, $10 billion?
The Broncos sold for $4.65 billion.
A lot.
I think it'd be more than that.
I don't think it would be more than that.
I just think the next... Isn't it like quarterback? The quarterback contracts? Just whoever's next.
Yeah,
maybe. You go to the top of the list.
Maybe.
I think getting in that... Bezos...
What would the Bills sell? $1 billion? Is that too much?
What do you mean?
If they're going to sell...
Oh, a piece of the team?
Yeah. What's that, look like?
If they sell a quarter of the team, I think they're getting like $1.5 billion.
You think?
Yeah. Right?
I don't know.
Look what the TV checks are every year. NFL is the most profitable league in the United States. I mean, in the world, maybe. It is. And look at, like, they're going global now. I don't know if that's going to work, but... They clearly think the investment is. I mean, they're going to the Olympics for flag football, which is going to, they think, grow the sport. They're going to Brazil for the first time. They've been in England. They've been in Germany. They're scouting Australia now. Mm-hmm. Like, they're looking for these other pockets of revenue to, you know, to approve and to get in. So, yeah, I think just getting in that club, how I think it's a stupid amount of money. What did the this just happened in the NBA. The Timberwolves, maybe, who no one in the world would consider like the most valuable
profitable
NBA team,
yeah,
at all. Right now they're being valued at like $2.5 billion.
That's crazy.
It's a mid-market,
yeah,
NBA team.
Right.
So, yeah, you give me any NFL franchise, and I think you're
multi-billion.
Going to like six.
Okay.
I think you're going to like $6 billion.
That's crazy. That's so much money.
You know, really, as we're in like to the ownership game, is this wrong to do? I feel like I find myself doing this often. Looking at the age of owners in terms of how they're going to act around their team, how they're going to build their team, if
okay,
you will. And I picked up on this. Dan Le Batard used to say this a lot about the Dolphins owner. In fact, he did again this week. Like he always does. Points out that Stephen Ross,
the older he gets, the more desperate they become.
85.
Yeah.
He's owned the team for 20 years since he was in his 60s, and he's never won a playoff game.
That's crazy. Yeah. So like maybe he starts to get desperate.
Right.
Which you would have thought, like, if the desperation came, that it would have been this offseason, they would have made sure Christian Wilkins didn't leave.
Right. But that he wants to see his team win while he's still here.
While he's kicking.
If that's how you're... I think what Le Batard made a point about this week was about the coach and how everyone loves Mike McDaniel, right? He has made Tua into something that is usable in the NFL. He has built the perfect offense for the quarterback he had. He has got all the young, innovative ideas offensively, which is what everybody's going for in today's NFL. He's made the playoffs back-to-back years. He hasn't won a playoff game, I know, but he's made the playoffs back-to-back years, which is a lot more than a lot of Dolphins coaches can say. And I guess the point was kind of, rationally, you would never fire that guy, right?
No.
You would never fire that guy. But you can't just assume they're going to act rationally when the owner is going to be, you know, he wants
desperate
to win now.
Desperate.
Yeah. So, like, I think it's nuts to think the Dolphins would fire Mike McDaniel this season. But if they win 9 games and miss the playoffs, do you think it's that crazy? This is why if I were a Dolphin fan, I wouldn't have wanted to pay Tua. Because let's say the owner is that way. Maybe this isn't giving him enough credit. Maybe he is more tempered than this. But let's say that the owner is like desperate. He is the man, by the way, that tried to, you know, tamper to get Tom Brady to come to his team.
That's also right.
Is the man that flew to Deshaun Watson's house while he was still a Texan to try to convince him to settle lawsuits so he could come be the Dolphins quarterback. So, you know, there is some evidence behind this. But let's say that he is that way. Is it that crazy that they would fire him? And this is why I wouldn't have wanted them to pay Tua if I was a Dolphins fan, because when you pay Tua, now you're locked in for a couple years. And if someone's going to fall on the sword for falling short of expectation or missing the playoffs, it can't be the quarterback anymore. It has to be Tua.
It can't be Tua. It has to be.
It would have to be the coach.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something that big. I hope that happens. McDaniel, to me, is the reason Tua's had the success he has. And getting him out of that building, to me, would significantly weaken the Dolphins on the short term. So I'm rooting for that. But I do think about Jerry Jones a little bit with this. Jones, though, there isn't evidence with him acting this way like Ross there is some. Jerry Jones, if anything, I saw Stephen A. point this out this week, that Stephen A. was making a point about Jerry Jones. What is his expectation for winning? Or what is his bar for winning? Because he's fired two coaches in like 15 years.
Yeah. Which is different than how he used to be.
With no postseason success.
Mm-mm.
So is he just okay with being competitive and filling up the building and winning 11, 12 games every year?
And then
and
being
not doing
exits?
Anything once you get to the playoffs?
Yeah.
Is he okay with that? Because
seems like
at least the way he treats his coaching staffs, he is okay with
that.
He's
treating his coaching staffs that way, and he's also he's waiting longer than any other franchise to sign their franchise players.
He is very unique.
They're costing themselves millions of dollars.
It's crazy. Dak's going to make $65 million a year because they waited
too long. Parsons already should have been signed long term.
Oh yeah, he's going to get 50 if they wait.
Yeah.
If they wait too long.
Right.
Lamb's going to get 40.
Yeah, they're.
If they paid Dak a year ago, Dak would be in the $55 million club.
Correct.
They're going to wait until the last second and give him what, 65?
And he's going to go to he's going to test the market.
Yeah, he really might leave.
He should, because the market is
going to
Market's going to drive that number up significantly.
Yeah. He could have
Vegas.
Man, you put him in an open market. Kirk Cousins got fully. I mean, I guess Cousins is pretty good, and Dak is better, I think, but is it that different? Whatever. Dak would get a bidding war like you've never seen if he makes it to the open market next year.
So, New England.
Another good reason the Dolphins paid Tua.
Tennessee. The Steelers. Las Vegas.
The Steelers. The Steelers are good for that. Yeah, the Raiders. I could see him on the Raiders.
Me
you
too.
Just envision him in the Raiders?
Yes.
In a Raiders uniform?
Yep, I could.
What about, is there someone in the NFC this works for?
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
thinking.
The Giants.
What about Seattle?
The Giants. Seattle is Geno Smith and Sam Howell. Yeah, Seattle. Seattle's not really built to win right now, though, right? Aren't they going to go through a rebuild?
Kind of, but they might be all right.
Yeah.
Like, Seattle could absolutely be a team. And they've got weapons.
Yeah. Anybody else? San Francisco? No.
Mm-mm.
Purdy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Dak. 803-0550 is the phone number. Rob in Connecticut. We'll get to you in Extendo Sports, I promise. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Nate Gary's WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Extendo Sports. Let's get Rob in Connecticut in. Rob, you got about a minute. Go ahead, my man.
No problem. Thank you. I feel honored to be a part of the Extendo Sports. Joe, Nate, and I got your name right. First off, last year, the turning point was when Joe Brady took over. I definitely agree with that. As far as going into the season compared to last year, it's a mystery for me. It's suspenseful. We'll see what happens. And as far as the 4-0 thing, going to the Super Bowl or bust, I think that's a little too soon. For me, it would be more of a 8-1 record, maybe half that season. But I always agree with what you guys have to say. It's always a great show. Nate, it was nice hearing you on the show.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for allowing me to be a part of Extendo Sports.
Thanks, Rob. Always appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to our next chat. 8-1. Man, with this schedule,
they go 8-1. They're the real time Super Bowl odds probably go to the favorite.
Would you take 3-3?
No.
Cardinals, Dolphins, Jaguars, Ravens, Texans, Jets.
No.
Three of those on the road.
And
that leads you into Titans, Seahawks, Dolphins, Colts.
I think four.
That's
wins
your easy part of your schedule is those four games. In
I
the
think
middle.
They got to be four. I think they got to have four wins going into that stretch.
I think I agree. I agree.
I think they got
3-3 to me is not the end of the world, though. I won't say I'll take
it. It's not the end of the world, but
because you have four games. I mean, they could win those four games in the middle all in a row. But knowing this team, I mean, they'll lose some that they shouldn't and win some that they should. Other way around. All right, that's it for us today. Stay tuned. Extra Point Show is on the way next here on WGR.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.